Spiritual warfare. What is it? How do we protect ourselves against it? And how does it affect our apologetic endeavors? On this episode of Unapologetic, where we defend truth without compromise with Dr. Bobby Conway, I'm your host, Tim Hall. Well, Bobby, spiritual warfare is one of those things that's been talked about a lot, but sometimes we really need to kind of dig down deep, and I think that's what we're hoping to do on this episode of Unapologetic today with this question. So maybe we could just start off with what are some of the signs of spiritual warfare, and we'll get into some of your story. I think that's going to be awesome, and some other teachings, but let's just kind of lay this out from the get-go. What are some of the signs of spiritual warfare?
Man, Tim, this is a biggie, isn't it?
It is. It sure is.
Because you have some people that would seemingly deny spiritual warfare, and others who find a demon behind every bush.
Right, right.
And so discerning our way through that can be really difficult. I mean, one sign or mark that you might be in the midst of spiritual warfare is finding yourself questioning truth. Think about in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3, has God said? So doubts. One of the things that the evil one loves to do is create doubt in us. So basically, the progressive church, we talk about progressive Christianity, that is built on the mark of the spiritual warfare component of doubt. You know, this is a bunch of people who have doubted so much that they've denied historic Christian doctrine.
Right.
Anxiety, depression, fears, worries, all of this can contribute to spiritual warfare. It can hit us on an emotional level. It can be overwhelming. It can create desperation, weird and unexplainable emotions. Sometimes it can show up in our dreams. Sometimes it can show up, you know, where we sense just dark presence in our midst. Lots of weird, unexplainable things can take place that individuals have described that could all be contributions to it.
Yeah.
And spiritual warfare can hit us on an oppressive and a possession level. Now, a Christian can't be possessed, but somebody who is possessed as a non-Christian is experiencing severe spiritual warfare.
Right.
Somebody who is a Christian who has experienced oppression is possessed by the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, they can be hammered by spiritual warfare.
Yeah. So tell me, what, from your perspective, what are some of the things that, so like, okay, I've experienced some of those things in my life, right? But then am I right to say that it's spiritual warfare all the time, that demon under every bush or behind every bush kind of thing? So how do we know if it's just me getting in the way, or if it's a test from God, like, you know, in Acts 28, I'm reminded of the, you know, Paul getting in a shipwreck and then he gets bit by a snake, right? So maybe he's like, oh, this is spiritual warfare. Or, you know, on the other side, you have someone like Jonah, right? Like, so how do we determine some of those things? What kind of key elements would you advise us to look for?
Well, as Christians, I think that when we find ourselves, you know, doubting God's word, you know, when we feel temptation can be a huge component. So when we find ourselves maybe being attracted to somebody else and we're married and we're wanting to execute, or if we're looking at pornography, if we're thinking about stealing something, or if we're, you know, deceiving ourselves because we want something that we know we shouldn't have, we can say, certainly there's some spiritual warfare involved in temptation. There's spiritual warfare involved when we are, you know, being tempted to doubt God's word.
Right.
A lot of times the evil one plays on our fears, but you're right to point that out, Tim, because there are times where maybe we're anxious and perhaps it's spiritual warfare, perhaps it's just anxiety, and perhaps it's a combination of both. And sometimes I don't think we can always know. And I don't think we should feel the pressure to always say we know for sure.
Right.
I think that we can just say, you know, I feel like I'm experiencing some spiritual warfare. But when your brain is constantly being racked with temptation, we need to realize that the evil one is pouncing on us and we need to put our guards up.
Right. No, that's good. So, okay. So we've laid out some of what it might look like in our lives. But I think one of the things that people are asking is like, okay, but how do we get out of it, right? What's the solution? And so we'll talk a little bit about that. So how can we protect ourselves against some of the spiritual warfare?
Well, the Bible is really clear in Ephesians 6. It helps us, right, to understand. That's Paul's famous armor of God passage, and he talks about putting on the armor of God. So I would encourage our readers to look at that. This is not a literal armor, but Paul uses this Roman armory to help us to understand the spiritual realm. So he talks about, for example, the shield of faith.
Right.
So we have to have faith in the Lord. We put our trust in the Lord, and we need to make sure that we don't let the evil one strip our faith away. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God without faith. We learn about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Mm-hmm. Well, you think about Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. After his baptism in Matthew 3, he was led into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days and for 40 nights. And what did the evil one do? Well, he similarly acted with Jesus in the way that he did with Eve in the garden.
Yeah.
Right? Has God said? What was Satan doing? He was taking total truth and twisting it.
Right.
But Jesus knew the word of God, and he used three references from the book of Deuteronomy,
right,
which makes me to say if our ability to beat out a battle with spiritual warfare was dependent upon our knowledge of Deuteronomy, how well would we do, right? So, you know, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, remembering that we belong to the Lord, the breastplate of righteousness, right? What does the evil one do? Well, who is it that condemns? It's not Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right. Romans 8:1 tells us. And so when we experience this condemnation, this shame, we need to carry that breastplate of righteousness and remember that we have the righteousness of Christ. One of the areas where Satan can really rack us with spiritual warfare is in the area of identity.
Oh, yes.
And this is where recognizing our righteousness in Christ, that's where our identity is. And so when we end up trying to find our identity and our popularity and our money and our, you know, reputation and all of these types of things, we're looking to the wrong source. If we're, you know, feeling that our identity shattered because we're overcome with shame and guilt and regret, this is where the breastplate of righteousness comes in, and it can be a great antidote to helping us. We need to remember, as 1 John 4:4 says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Right.
We need to remember 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man.
Right.
For God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. For when you are tempted, he will provide a way out for you so that you could stand up under it. I remember that was the first verse that I ever memorized.
You still got it.
So, I still got it. We need to remember 1 Peter 5:8, right? Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, Jesus even said when Peter, he says, when he was talking to Peter, Peter was like, hey, you know, I don't want you to die. He tried to interrupt the Lord's plans to go to the cross. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. So Jesus recognized spiritual warfare in that moment. In other words, Satan can speak through people we really love.
Right.
Jesus was wise enough to pick that off.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I think one of the things that I love about this passage, particularly that we're talking about, Ephesians 6 here, is when you start to really understand all these different pieces in their context, right? Like what does the belt actually do for a soldier? Or what is the breastplate of righteousness? Or what's a breastplate do? And how important are their shoes? And how important are is their shield and whatnot? As we start to unpack some of that and really look at it, it gives a whole deeper meaning to each one of these different things. So maybe you could talk about some of that for just a couple minutes, because I think that's really, really important and really cool.
So again, Paul's taking an illustration from a Roman soldier's armory.
Right.
And so he takes those pieces, and on a parenthesis level, I mean, Paul's a great illustrator.
Yeah.
He utilizes something that his audience would understand mm-hmm. to communicate and drive a truth home.
Right.
So it's not that there's this literal armor, but what he uses the armor to represent is literally true,
yeah.
that we are the righteousness of Christ. So as we talked about, you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be able to use the word of God. That is the offensive weapon that we have mm-hmm. access to. And so therefore, if we're going to handle spiritual warfare, we need to know the word of God.
Right.
We cannot defeat spiritual warfare on a diet of a minute of the Bible a day and 10 hours of TV a day.
Right, right.
The belt of truth, right? We need to walk in the truth. Who is Satan? He's the father of lies.
Right.
Who is Jesus? I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Exactly.
So Jesus is the truth. And so we need to be very familiar with Jesus as the truth mm-hmm. in our life. And so we fasten Jesus on to our life. That righteousness, as I talked about, is our identity. Interestingly enough, that breastplate was a frontal piece.
Right.
And so the armor that we have, you know, you're looking ahead.
Yeah.
You know, you're not worried about your back. You're marching forward.
Right.
That helmet of salvation, again, another identity piece. We're remembering whose we are. The gospel, the footwear, right, that brings peace. One of the ways that we need to stay active is spiritual warfare. When we go through it, Satan wants to silence us, mm-hmm. but we put the footwear on and we stay moving forward in the gospel.
Right.
Because spiritual warfare, people can get freaked out, they can get silenced, they can worry about sharing the gospel. What if they reject me? Mm-hmm. But we need to proceed. We need to move forward in faith. We need to move forward in truth. We need to move forward in our righteousness. We need to move in the righteousness of Christ. We need to move forward with that helmet of salvation, but we need to take that to other people. So when we take the gospel, what are we taking them? Well, we're offering them the belt of truth. We're offering them the helmet of salvation.
Right.
We're offering them the sword of the Spirit. We're offering them those features that we're discussing.
Yeah. No, that's great. One of the illustrations that Paul uses, again, Paul's a great illustrator, is this idea of wrestling. He uses that right before he goes into that armor of God. And I think that's really cool that he's using this. It's hand to hand. It's up close. It's personal. When you're wrestling with somebody, you're right there. And that's one of the illustrations that he uses. And I think it's important for us as apologists or people that are defending the faith, that are trying to continue to be intellectual about our faith, to understand who really it is that maybe we're our adversary is, or our
enemy
is in this. So maybe you can remind us as apologists that idea of wrestling and what that really means.
Well, I do love that. You know, our enemy is not against flesh and blood. When I spoke for Family Life, did marriage conferences for almost 10 years with my mm-hmm. wife. And one of the things that we would say at conferences is we'd have the couples look at each other as speakers, and we would say this to one another. Excuse me. Say, you are not my enemy.
Right.
And the reason we did that is because that's what we feel like sometimes in marriage or in certain relationships, like we're each other's enemies.
Yeah.
And what we want to say is, no, you're not my enemy. Satan mm-hmm. is our enemy. He's the one trying to tear down this relationship. And so as apologists, we have to be careful that we don't lose sight of the unseen realm. There is an unseen realm.
Right.
And our battle is not against flesh and blood. There are these principalities and powers. There is an evil one. There is an ultimate vision of the Great Commission that God is moving us toward, and that is going to be culminated in the eschaton. But in the meantime, Satan is doing everything he can to undo that.
Hmm. So we're in the month of October, so maybe we can wrap our episode up here. We're talking about Halloween. We're talking about how that maybe fits into spiritual warfare, the things that we could be doing that could invite the devil in, you know, as watching movies, as, you know, going trick-or-treating, as dressing up in a certain way. Are those things going to invite the spiritual warfare into our lives? How do we navigate some of that in this month of October?
Well, I want to talk about that, and I'd love to share just some of my own personal life as it relates to spiritual warfare as well. But with Halloween, I mean, could you open yourself up to something? Of course. I mean, if you're part of the New Age, if you're involved, you know, in the Church of Satan or involved with witchcraft, you know, white magic or dark magic, black magic, you need to be careful.
Yeah.
I don't think that when people are dressing up as Scooby-Doo and going out and getting treats that they're, you know, in the midst of a spiritual battle because they're doing that. Yeah. So I think that that just is discernment and we just need to use wisdom.
No, that's good.
But we do need to realize there is a level of paganism out there and there are people that will use that night.
Mm-hmm.
To really invite the unseen realm in to do evil in this world. And we as Christians should be mindful and offer prayers up at that time as well.
That's good. That's good. Well, I do want you to share some of your story. So kind of wrap this whole episode of spiritual warfare up with some of your story and how spiritual warfare fits into that.
Well, I'll tell you what happened to me when I was younger. So the first time that I got clean and didn't touch a sip for almost 23 years, it was in 1994.
Okay.
And man, when I went to AA and, you know, got cleaned up, my life came so alive for Jesus because the first year and a half of being a Christian, I just did not know how to get rid of the alcohol because I was basically a slave to my emotions.
Okay.
I just did what my emotions did. And so having an addiction in my life, I did not know how to live above that. As I got cleaned up, I caught fire for Jesus. I started witnessing to everything that moved. And all of a sudden, I just really sensed that the evil one was trying to pull me back in to my past life. And I got overcome with anxieties that were so overwhelming that I couldn't eat. I couldn't work out. I was bedridden a lot. I lost 30 pounds.
Wow.
I literally went to a doctor. I thought that I was dying. I thought I had a disease. And the doctor said, you know, you're okay other than the fact that you have high blood pressure. Well, that didn't make a lot of sense to me. I didn't understand what was going on. I was scared to sleep in the dark. I was living at my parents' house. I was 21. And I can remember sleeping out in the family room with the lights on. My dad would come out in the morning and think, what's the deal here, son?
Right.
Like, it just seems so odd to him. And I would try to explain it, but he could not process what was taking place. I did have weird things happening, like faucets going off and on. I remember driving uphill and my truck accelerating and my foot wasn't on the gas. And with my mind, I was rationally going, I'm not doing anything here. This thing's just speeding up. What is happening here?
Yeah.
I had weird types of external manifestations like this that were happening, as well as these internal emotions of just being racked with anxiety that was sinking me into depression as well. Well, I remember I was working at the Ritz-Carlton as a valet parker in Dana Point, Southern California.
Beautiful hotel. We just got to see it a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it is beautiful. Well, this sagely elderly lady who was a wonderful Christian, she knew that I was a young, zealous Christian, and I just shared with her what was going on. And she said, Bobby, I think you're going through something what is called spiritual warfare. And I had never heard that language. And she began to talk with me about it. It piqued my interest. I was very desperate. Well, the next week she comes to work and she said, Bobby, I have a package that I believe is for you. She said, this package showed up at my house and I never ordered this, but it came to me and I opened it up and it was a tape by Pastor Brian Broderson entitled Spiritual Warfare.
Wow.
I took that tape home and I listened to that thing and I could not believe it. That was God's gift that he mailed to this lady's house. And I listened to that thing over and over and over and over again. I was talking to Heather. We were dating. She was living in Arkansas. I was in California. And I could not wait for her to hear this tape. I flew out to Arkansas, got in the car at the airport, plugged the tape in, and it got 8 on the spot. I thought, dang, man, I wanted her to hear this. Well, you know, you fast forward that story, that tape was so pivotal. Well, you go forward about 25 years later, and then I'm at Calvary Chapel Bible College teaching, and I meet Pastor Brian Broderson, who's the president there, and pastor of Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa.
Wow.
And he had heard about my one-minute apologist. And I said, Brian, I just got to tell you the impact you've had in my life through this tape. Like the most significant message I ever heard. Let me tell you about this. And he was blown away. God gave us a kindred heart. He started inviting me on Pastor's Perspective as a guest. Mm. Eventually, he hired me as Don Stewart's successor to sit in the apologist seat. And we have built this beautiful relationship. Yeah. Well, now you fast forward. We're back here in North Carolina planting Image Church. And in the first 3 months of this church, I was so overcome with spiritual warfare once again. All kinds of things were going on. You saw it happening yourself, Tim, where it was like, I mean, this is crazy what's happening. Yeah. And I was in the midst of spiritual warfare, but I had deceived myself into thinking that, oh man, I shouldn't have planted a church. Mm. I think Satan led me out here to plant the church and I missed it.
Yeah.
And I went out to Pastor Brian believing that he had a word for me. He's my mentor. I love Pastor Brian. I mean, anybody that knows me knows I cannot speak highly enough about his humility and his integrity. And I could not wait to have dinner with him. And he took me out for a nice Italian meal. And I began to tell him that, man, I think Satan deceived me and that, you know, I followed the Satan out there planting this church. And he's looking at me and he just gets this grin on his face. And he says, Bobby, Satan doesn't plant churches. And I kid you not, Tim, it was like the light bulbs went off. And I thought, of course Satan doesn't plant a church. And I was blinded. Yeah. And that's what Satan does. He blinds us. He deceives us. He's the author of lies. And ever since that moment, I was freed up. I can honestly say that I don't know of any time in my life where I've had a clear, what people would talk about, a word of knowledge.
Right.
That was it right there for me.
Yeah.
And you think, well, that's, you know, not all that genius. You know, Satan doesn't plant churches. Well, it was for where I was at in that spot. Yeah. I was in despair. And God began to lead me out of that. And I taught the church on the importance of spiritual warfare. And I think we as pastors need to make people aware that we are in a spiritual battle. Look what's going on. I mean, Tim, we're living in a time where I read last week about co-pastors in San Diego, where one of the pastors is a porn star.
Right.
I mean, Satan is at work. Through progressive Christianity, through LGBTQ slipping into the church. Mm-hmm. He's dividing us on with critical race theory in the church. There's so much going down. He's even using things like the vaccine and mass to divide us. And we have to be able to see where he's at and unify the flock around the gospel.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I will echo a lot of what you're saying about Brian Broderson. I don't know him nearly as well as you do, but he's an amazing person. Everything that I have experienced with Brian has just been awesome. But what I would say is, man, just the obedience of that lady to give you the tape and say, hey, man, thanks for sharing with me. And here's this tape. And you just listen to it. So maybe this episode might be that for somebody else. Maybe there's someone that's going through spiritual warfare and they're just like, hey, I watched this video on YouTube. Or I heard this on the radio. You might need to listen to it. And I'm still trying to figure out how we could explain what a cassette tape is.
Yeah, yeah.
No idea.
I know, right? Well,
why, how it got eaten, right?
We're revealing our age, right?
Right, right.
By the way, you know, hopefully this episode can be helpful for some, but Brian put that message in a book form on spiritual warfare. And so people can get that by going to the Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa bookstore and just typing in the search engine, I'm sure, you know, his book on spiritual warfare. And that can be a huge help.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that Satan can do is he'll try to cause Christians to doubt their salvation.
Yeah.
Did you know that Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers in the 19th century, suffered immensely at times from doubting his own salvation? Mm. Can you imagine, as I heard Brian Broderson say in his tape, and it made me laugh years ago when I heard the tape, he says, imagine going to Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, and saying, you know, Charles, I'm just really struggling doubting my salvation lately, and I just wanted to come to you for some help. And to have Mr. Spurgeon reply saying, well, you know, I doubt my own salvation a lot as well.
Scratch your head and be like, oh,
yeah,
no,
we're not much help, Charles.
Right, exactly. Well, that is amazing. Man, thank you so much for sharing some of your story.
You bet.
How much of that story is outlined in Doubting Towards Faith?
A good bit of it. Yeah. Okay. You know, I shared a lot more of it with the publisher, and they're like, let's not put all this in here. You might scare some people away. Right. And so it's toned down. And even what I'm sharing, you know, is toned down to a degree here. Yeah. Because I realized that I was so messed up in spiritual warfare that I got to a point where I was finding a demon behind every bush too. Yeah. And one of my ways out was to realize that's not the case. Mm. So I think I got imbalanced in that season of my life, but certainly at the core, the evil one was doing his number on me.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for checking out this episode of The Unapologetic Show. If you want to read Ephesians, the end of Ephesians 6, it is a great just text about this spiritual warfare and all of those different pieces that Bobby laid out. And so we'd really encourage you to check that out and check out Brian Broderson's book on spiritual warfare. And with that, we'll meet you again next time on The Unapologetic Show.
Let's face it, evangelism can be a scary endeavor, especially in this culture. Do you ever feel handcuffed when it comes to sharing the gospel? Well, if so, let me introduce you to a crash course on evangelism that I have created for you in order to eliminate the fears so that you could do evangelism in a conversational way. In a way that's relatable, in a way that can resonate with 21st century America. In this 7-part course, you will also have the opportunity to be invited in to a Facebook group whereby you can meet other people who have some of the same obstacles to overcome that you might have, and you can connect with them and find a network there. I hope you'll join us in this 7-week journey to doing outreach, the Great Commission for Jesus Christ.
Enroll today at oneminuteapologist.com/courses. You've been listening to Unapologetic with Dr. Bobby Conway, the 1-Minute Apologist. I am your host, Tim Hall. Be sure to listen to Bobby on Pastor's Perspective Monday through Thursday, as well as like, share, and subscribe to the 1-Minute Apologist YouTube channel, where we have over 1,000 videos. We would also like to remind you that this is a listener-supported program. We would greatly appreciate your support in any amount so we could continue to provide this ministry. If you would like to be a part of our team in any capacity, please visit our website at oneminuteapologist.com. And while you're there, check out all of Bobby's books, courses, and even invite him to speak at your church or event. Thank you for listening to Unapologetic, where we defend truth without compromise. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.